Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, happy hump day, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school to new school wave. My main man is back in effect from his vacation. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese Special Grease Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Old Chaney slash Andre Matt, and 168th and Maple, with where Eric Strickland is on his way up to or close by in proximity, up there in the O or the Metro, whatever you'd like to call it. A lot going on. Obviously, really good fast 2 hours on the block. Talked NBA talk, talked a little college football, a little NFL, and then obviously a little bit of revisionist history on how things went down, and then also who was a really good team, who wasn't, or who the great teams and who would win, who wouldn't. Obviously, Austin's on one side of the spectrum, as I'm on the other, like all things, because he's a Colts fan. But the one thing that's that we both feel that is very close to us is the change in college football, Austin. Obviously, we got about a 15, 20-minute segment here, and then Kathy Martinez is coming in to talk about the AFN golf tournament. Then we'll put another bow on a great day here at the Ticket, 1040 O Street, live in effect. But a lot of GMs with the changing of the guard, per se, is that the two things happened, right, today, or will happen August 1st, is that they're able to send potential contracts to athletes so they can kind of know where they stand most likely come January. And then number two is the designation athletes have a secret portal, but a specialty portal for them. If they choose to jump in there from July 7th, I think, to August 5th. And
yes.
So what a designated player is somebody that's not normally wouldn't be a part of the 105, but the present team wants to keep them or could keep them. And they might be, on a collective scholarship or their own financial aid or a combination of both. And doesn't matter if, I don't know if it matters if they're on scholarship or not, but they're just not out there outside the 105 or designated outside of the 105. They're designated technically as student athletes. And so they either can stay where they're at if there's a spot, or they can transfer to a team potentially that they can get on the 105 or be another student athlete at another university. So that is the option to kind of somewhat, I call it, backdoor grandfather some players on rosters, or at least in the chance to play NCAA football this year.
I like that it's a one-time portal. I think, it's tough to tell these kids use it or lose it, maybe, because situations change year to year. But that's kind of what I think this whole house settlement is supposed to do, right? Bring some of that understandability back, I think, to college sports.
Yeah.
Where you can't have, or you don't want to have one set of rules for this group of student athletes and a different set of rules for this group of student athletes. And sure, there are always exceptions that will prove the rules to be fair. But think about, Jay, when the house settlement was first announced, we heard the number 105. How many student athletes, designated or not, that were on kind of that cut line, jumped into the portal right away? And then it was, oh, well, I guess, we're getting grandfathered in. We can go back to the school. In some cases, it was no harm, no foul. Coaches understood, yeah, that was a business decision. That was going to be best for you. You weren't going to be on the roster here. More luck to you. But maybe for some coaches, they didn't want to let those kids back on the team. Oh, you were going to leave us. Your head was never with us. Sorry, we don't want you back. So I'm glad to see that there is an opportunity for these designated student athletes that see, yeah, okay, they did officially mark me, because they'll know if they're a designated student athlete, that list is due on July 6th. Because then the transfer portal opens on the 7th through the 5th, like you laid out. So I assume that these student athletes will have access to this list or have to be told that, hey,
probably before, right?
Probably, you know, at least on July 6th, I assume they have to be informed that, hey, you would have been on this list. You would have been cut. Maybe some will stick it out of their current school, but I'm sure plenty of them will attempt to use this one-time transfer portal window to try to find a new home that's better for them and someplace they feel maybe a little more wanted.
Yeah, and you could maybe get some guys that you might have missed out on other teams. And so it's all roster management. It's how you're able to expand your roster or keep your roster expanded, at least for a year. But these kids got, you know, it's a holiday weekend, July 4th coming up, obviously. You know, they're going to have a good holiday weekend, as you wish everybody would, or you know, whether you want to call it a holiday or just a celebration weekend, whatever you choose to look at it as. But you cannot lose sight of the fact that you got some big decisions to make. And even if you have the option to stay, and if you really want to play football, you have to weigh, you know, I love it here. I'm comfortable here. I'm able to stay another year, set up to have a magical year here. Or do I want to be, I wouldn't even call it selfish, but more realistic that I will get a legit chance to play out of Kansas or whatever, and then be a part of that 105 or at least be on scholarship. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, it's a big boy decision is like, just say if you're on some sort of financial aid and a little bit of help with the collective, NIL, whatever you want to call it, and you get a full ride somewhere else. I mean, sometimes you have to do and, you know, go and do something you necessarily might not want to do, but it's what you have to do. So for these young kids that are anywhere from, I guess, 18 to 20, 22 years old, 23 years old, depending on where they are in their tenure in college football, are going to have to make some big decisions, over the weekend, because I'm sure they're going to be notified or have already been notified, because you would like to give them, you know, enough chance to get out there early. Mm-hmm. And be the first.
Do right by them.
Because they've obviously did right by you. You know, I'm sure, you know, every coach would like to keep every single player on his roster and have huge rosters. And I mean, obviously it works out better for them. And, you know, I'm sure Matt Rhule, you know, is close with, you know, I mean, he said it himself. There's a lot of guys that, you know, he wished he could keep around, but he might not be able to. And those are probably the easy conversations are when a guy is a knucklehead, gets in trouble, kind of does it to himself. You're just kind of trying to find a way to get him out of the door without, you know, you know, as painless as possible. I think these type of conversations can hurt.
We'll start with roster limits because that's where we're at, but then a bigger picture question after this discussion. Who do roster limits actually help the most? You know, who are roster limits intended to benefit? Is it intended to benefit student athletes? Is it intended to benefit coaches? Athletic departments, who do the roster limits benefit the most?
I think it depends on who or what, where you're at. I mean, I think some coaches like a bigger roster. So, you know, it doesn't really benefit them. Then I think it could benefit some teams that are a little bit less talented, because you'll get the trickle down effect from, you know, Alabama, Ohio State, Tennessee's and all them, that you'll be able to get some players that normally wouldn't look at your university based on the 105. And then like the athletic departments, I'm sure they like it at 105. It's probably cleaner, you know, accounting wise, money wise, salary cap wise, and however you divide up the, you know, 20.5 million. So I'd say they probably want it. They like it a little bit better at 105, but I think I'm sure the coaches, especially for practice reasons, you know, so you don't have to over practice your second and third team offense and defense alignment by going scout team and then obviously getting offensive reps.
I know you guys looked at that article from Ross Dellinger with Yahoo Sports a little bit yesterday. There was a part in there that it really stood out to me in terms of the financials behind it, like you just brought up. Ross Dellinger writes, in fact, during a recent football team meeting, one SEC school illustrated the impending decrease in pay showing players that their expected allocation this coming year, about $14 million, is roughly half of what the school spent on last year's team, $27 million. Again, that's just one example, right? And that's probably just, you know, from the school, right? You've had to split out collectives from the school, again, after you just reintegrated them like they were supposed to be, and then they were. We know all that background. I think that this really was a step to help administrators in administration, right? It gives them an opportunity to save some money, right? I mean, now, yes, it's coming out of their own pockets, right, in the athletic department, but it's fewer, you know, student athletes. You spread the money around probably fewer ways. I think it is streamlining and straightforward, you know, accounting now for a lot of these front offices. I think it, you know, helps players that are on the roster because they'll get more attention, right? Fewer players with the same number of coaches means you ought to get more attention. Yeah. I think it helps the players hypothetically that got cut, because if you're good enough to be a walk-on at a Power Four, you'd like to think you can be a borderline scholarship player at a lower level where maybe you're more fit. It's probably more opportunity for you. I think overall in the long run, it's going to end up helping a lot of different people. I just can't say going into this, student athletes were front of mind with roster limits.
Not at all. Not at all. Because, I mean, just from a health standpoint, you know, some guys are going to maybe, you know, increase their workload by one or two times. So I don't think the student athletes has ever been in the forefront of any decision they've made, or else you wouldn't be in the situation you're in right now. So ultimately, you know, I think the people that could benefit off is, like you said, administrators and people do the salary cap and accounting. They have a little bit clearer picture, and they're not. And then also there's checks and balances too with NIL deals. And so those things that you know, that Deloitte is doing a lot of the work for you. So, you know, now it just comes down to how you manage your $20.5 million, and when it goes up, you know, to 22 or whatever, and you distribute it to, you know, your sports teams. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if you have a down year in a sport. Does that change? You know, the example you said where the salary cap of $14 million is a little bit less than what they were getting before when it was open checkbook for NIL. I think also the biggest benefactor is probably the donors. You get to donate to the university.
Mm-hmm. Right off.
And then also, you're kind of just at $20.5 million. You got to think, if you're, you know, like Ohio State spent what, 30 last year just on the football, you're really going to be able to get some guys in at a little bit cheaper rate. Now, I still think that will be, you know, collectives to, you know, be that buffer there. But I think ultimately, you know, you're getting a kind of mini version of, you know, AAA version of NFL football.
Lane Kiffin, your boy Lane, brought that up a couple of years ago and said, you know, if we're going to go to collective bargaining, let's just get it out of the way and go to the straight NFL model. But here's the next question then. Who is collective bargaining intended to help, and who will it actually help? Because right now, if you think about it...
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The players have a pretty sweet deal, for the most part, right? Yeah, there's still not a lot of transfer restrictions, right? Maybe more coming with contracts, depending on how they're worded. But I mean, in the NIL system, which is still around, yes, it's got to be cleared by Deloitte. I get that. But there's no cap on how much the $20.5 million any single player can make, you know, from a school to get their services. This is a very open market system for the players. And some of the people in that article were saying, why would the players negotiate down all the leverage that they have right now?
Yeah, I mean, they had, before this, they had the sweetest deal out there. You just walk in the coach's office probably once a month. I need to get some more money.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll go, or not the coach or whatever, you know, you get paid. Now you got potential contract. So you went from a super sweet deal to a sweet deal. Collective bargaining, unless they are going to provide benefits like after you get done playing, what's the point?
Right.
And as a school, I'm sure the lawyers will be able to protect them from previous, I guess, employees or previous players, previous years. But it seems like you'd be overexposing yourself as well. So I think the players, you know, before they can, you know, collective bargaining, they're going to have to get representation. I mean, there's, you know, when you think about the NFL model, every team in the NFL makes money. There's only 32 of them. I don't know how many Power Four schools there are, but it's way more than 32.
Like 70.
Right.
68.
So there's way more. That's double. Mm-hmm. And then some change. And there's not every school can meet that 20.5 million threshold. So that's why it's not the same apples to apples collective bargaining. Because when you think about it, every team in the NFL has a shared salary cap. They're all getting the same salary cap and the money is there. And you know, you get Ohio State that has 20.5 million. You got Nebraska gets 20.5 million. And then you'll get like, well, I shouldn't say Stanford, but to say like Kansas or somebody like that, that doesn't have that high of enough percentage football wise to compete.
Well, and let's take this even a step further. Greg Sankey has made some public comments saying that he thinks that when, you know, collective bargaining and employment contracts come to college athletics, it's not going to stop at Power Four. It's going to trickle all the way down, not just to you know, Group of Five, but also to Division Two and Division Three. Is that going to work the same? Is it going to be good for those schools? Is that going to be, you know, them biting off more than they can chew? Is there a way that the NCAA, again, the big umbrella over this whole deal, will they be able to walk that fine line and create two different classes, quote unquote, of athletes, where maybe, you know, football and men's basketball, the two highest revenue generating sports, are quote unquote employee athletes under this new system?
Yeah, you can do it
that
way.
Do you have to treat them all the same, right? Finding the line to walk, because now we know that they will get taken to court
and lose
repeatedly.
Yeah.
And lose if it's not legal. Will they be willing to take a step and try to thread that needle, or will they be a little gun shy and say, we're kind of done paying all these lawyers and court fees? We're just going to let it ride as it is right now until someone comes in and says, no, this absolutely has to change.
Yeah, I think they're going to, if I was them, I would take a little bit of a pause. I mean, we've been taking L's left and right. All the way down to the lower levels. I like it because it could, you know, maybe keep, you know, kids guaranteed to be at school for a year or two. And then you never know what can happen. So the transfer portal won't be, you know, as rampant as guys having that as their crutch and negotiating ploy to jump in there. But ultimately, I think, you know, when you have the corporate people pushing for collective bargaining, that just, my spider senses go off.
That part.
For the player, the players don't have any.
But why are commissioners pushing back against it then?
Because I think it would probably get in the way of the overall product. I think people don't realize is that there's a lot of things that have to go right for this to be sustainable.
Right. It some of it's an honor system.
Right.
A lot of it is.
An honor system. The product has to be good. The TV, you know, the companies have to be willing to continue to pony up money. Somehow, some way, all the people in the school have got to find ways to continue to generate income, mm-hmm. and or if donations to meet the 20.5 million. And then even the teams that aren't, you know, getting a high percentage of that 20.5 million, they got to perform like they are. And then you got to keep them happy. And all while you got to, you know, hope you got to increase the student athletes or athletes in sports that generally didn't have a full roster of scholarships. Now they do. To me, that would keep me up at night. Is this going to work? Because if it doesn't work, what do you do? Do you go back to pre-contract and just say you're on your own? Well, then I would think if I'm a player that had to be under contract based on these new rules, well, I didn't agree to it. You agreed to it. Everybody else agreed. So now I need money because now Austin came 4 years later after this thing blew up in everybody's face and he's able to make three times as much money and he hadn't even played it down yet. So I just think it's there's a lot of, you know, angst and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I would just be wary because the players don't have representation. And in you know, some states is different than others. Mm-hmm. They don't even have like the place that you remember that game Sims?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. They can't even build a building or foundation on that for a union yet.
Right.
Like, who's going to be the commissioner? Who's going to be like the board of trustees? Who's going to be your representation in every single school in that? And then, you know what these schools don't like to do? They don't like to pay nobody.
No.
So where's that money going to come from? Is it going to come from the NCAA? I doubt it. Mm-hmm. Are you going to charge?
Well, the NCAA's got $20 million a year. It's got to pay already.
Well, then you got to think, okay, if the players, well, then the players from their NIL deals, percentage of their income or what they're getting paid automatically has to go to the union.
Mm-hmm. Not going to like that. I'm glad you bring that up, too, because that same article from Yahoo Sports brought up DeMaurice Smith, NFLPA. That was a look. What does that look mean?
Well, what the look mean? I think he was the commissioner or the NFLPA commissioner when they were colluding not to play the players. You was the dude. You was there. You was just the
you're letting it happen.
Goodell was there, and you was across the street. So how are you going to come down here?
He says about unionization and collective bargaining in college, pragmatically, it would be extremely difficult. There are such a large number of athletes playing a disparate number of sports, with some being revenue generating and some not. This is the dude who's the head of the collective bargaining unit, or was for a long time, for the NFL, the system that Lane Kiffin says he wants, saying, not so sure about it in college.
I agree with him. The coaches want it because they got more experience with it. Mm-hmm. So then it helps them do their job. And there is some benefits for it, but the only way it works, football, is if you condense it down to like two super leagues or two super conferences, and you have 40 teams. Mm-hmm. That's only 8 more teams in the NFL. You can be in there. But then what are you going to do if you regulate and deregulate? Somebody regulates in there. Well, then they become of it. But then they get the benefit off. Okay, here's an example I'll give.
Well, I wonder, too, if how many of those schools that don't make the cut in the top 40 start playing by those rules, assuming that they do get promoted, that they're already ready to go.
That's what I was about to ask. Now, just say you don't play by the rules, or you do, assuming what's the worst thing you could do, because the first 3 words, you assume that you're going to be there. But let's say let's say this has been going on for 5 years. All these 40 schools have been paying in, or players, all the players have been paying in 5 years worth of union dues and all that mm-hmm. stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Well, then here comes these dudes from like Iowa State, and you get in. And then something happens. So essentially, we paid for all you guys, and you're going to benefit off of it.
And not pay in.
Because maybe you pay in for a year. Mm-hmm. And say you have to go on a strike. So there is advantages to becoming a union. I think there's too many players, and I do agree with, DeMaurice Smith that it just can't happen. I like that there's contracts because it gives you some sort of connectivity on both sides. But if I'm a player, man, that is up there. If I'm a player and I had signed a 3-year deal in 2024 on the old NIL, ain't mm-hmm. no way in the world I'm being doing a contract.
You are honoring these terms. I'm not willing to renegotiate. You signed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm friends. I'm
chilling.
I'm Poppy Foreman in. Grandfather.
Well, that was another line from this piece. There are many in college sports management, schools, and conference leaderships who fear that any negotiation with players to limit the existing transfer and compensation freedoms will end in one way.
No.
Strike.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to take. You don't think college players would hold out for that?
No.
You see, not these smart dudes, enough?
Listen,
is that represented enough? Why wouldn't they strike?
These dudes are getting paid, right?
Well, so I'm saying if they try to take that away, they would strike.
No. These dudes would bend the knee. They have no representation. And these dudes, as soon as they get paid, they wear more jewelry than Liberace. Straight up.
You're not wrong.
So so right then, you just showing the dudes your weaknesses. You know who Liberace is?
Yes, I know who Liberace is.
He's the jewelry man.
Yes.
Yeah.
My
grandma used to talk about Liberace all the time. rest in peace, man. Tootie Foreman. Miss you. So then now they know you ain't got no negotiating power. Who's your leader? Will you all fall in line? And
how do you handle the rogue ones?
How do you handle the rogue ones? And nobody's paid in to pay everybody to survive during that time. Maybe 10, 20 years down the road, and this thing is still going. But I'm trying to be grandfathered into my old deal. I like that deal. That deal makes me feel great. And
my fault you signed me to this deal.
Yeah, but this
you.
It's important. Like Matt Rule said, it's important for me to recover. The only way I'm going to sleep good at night is the deal that we had.
Is that money?
Because I can't sleep.
That account.
Do you want me to have bags under my eyes and try to catch a punt in front of 90,000 people?
No, you do not.
No, okay then. So
pay me my money.
Nice conversation. I like your tie. Now I got to go get me some sleep. Like your boy AJ Ferrari, man. That little dude, I listened to him, man. He said he slept 12 hours. I ain't slept 12 hours until Greg Williams came and Tom Donahoe. Straight up. I ain't slept since.
12 hours a
matter
week.
Matter of fact, Greg Williams, I'm suing you.
Too bad you couldn't go on strike from a Greg Williams defense.
But I'll tell you.
Greg Williams defense is paid out nice, though.
I like Greg, and he could have probably convinced me just to take out some. If he would have said take out Peyton Manning, said, no problem. You know what, Greg? I'll do that for free. I'll do this one for free. The next guy I got to take out, I want double payment. Anyways, double payment. We're up against the clock. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school, new school way. We'll be right back.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.